In Bob's world, he triangulates everything. Mm-hmm. Everything is not even two conversation. It's a triangulation so you know where you are. And that's why folks get crossways with him, because he ain't having it. He's going to go the two conversations and another dynamic. And when you get two conversations and another dynamic, then you have 3 points. And you can always find your position within 3 points. And he does that just naturally and doesn't even know that he does it, but he does. And that's why some go, well, gosh, you know, you can't ever get to Bob. Well, right, because Bob's not even where Bob is. So, yeah, that's not odd. That's not even unusual. And the never ending on a place of, okay, I'm just going to have it. I'm just going to take it. He's not having that. Now, is he right? Is he wrong? Who cares? Now, he likes to be vindicated, and that's okay. But from his point of triangulation, he can always find his place. And if not, then he just goes, ah, that's silly, or something. But it's not about that. It's about noticing the point or place of the conversation that he's in. Now, granted, he ain't going to remember 30 seconds later. But now, Bob triangulates. You should try triangulating your position. Mm-hmm. Then you'll validate where you are, so you'll be able to validate when you're not there. So let's try that right here, right now. We'll give it a little practical magic here. Triangulate your conversation that we're having right here so you'll know where you are right here. And then before this conversation is over, we can go to another world and you'll be able to validate it right here, right now, and settle this mess.
Triangulate the conversation we're having here right now.
Yeah, right now, yeah.
And how do I do that?
Bob, how would you triangulate this conversation that we're having right here, right now?
I guess what Bob would say is, whatever you're telling me, then there's the opposite of that.
Got it. Okay, fine. And then one more point, so you have a 3-point marker to tell exactly what we're discussing here.
So there's what you're saying, there's the opposite, and then there...
What am I saying? What am I saying?
Are you asking me, or you're saying that's the third?
No, that's the point to triangulate. What am I saying? Bob wouldn't have it. He wouldn't let it go. He'd say, hell no, I want to know the details. This, that, and every little detail. Squeezing the lemon, I guess, is a better way to say it. What we've laid out, if you're going to triangulate what we're talking about here, what did we say? What are we trying to communicate?
That when I'm in a conversation or doing any experience to... regard that conversation as one point and the opposite as the second point.
Yes, but the opposite would be how maybe you don't agree with the point. Or maybe if that's valid, how is it valid? Well, or if there's a dynamic that you're missing, rather than let it go and make it be vague in general, pinpoint it. So you have what we're trying to say, you get it. You give another point of view regarding it. Now, the second point doesn't have to be contradictory, but it could be a further clarification. You just watch the ninth gate. All right? You look at the ninth gate, the triangulation that Mr. Corso did between Frida, Boris, Balkan, and your little Frenchman. That had the 3 copies of the same first edition book, and in each one of those books, you had illustrations, 9 of which were done by LCF, rather than Tarkia. Now, that's a triangulation. Now, Mr. Corso had help all the way through. Mr. Corso was delving deeper and deeper and deeper, starting with Rihanna Telfa. You see, that whole process of the antagonist in this plot as it goes through. But at the same time, each point was a point of triangulation for Mr. Corso. So that's how he triangulated. He didn't even have access to the 3 points, but that was his drive to solve, with much contrast, obviously.
Can we go over who each of these people are and
if I understand what ion tempo triangulation, you have one conversation, another conversation, and the third aspect would be the context?
Maybe, sometimes, but now we were trying to triangulate this conversation so it would be very clear what we're saying, and if she can do it with this conversation, triangulation's a piece of cake.
When you say this conversation, do you mean the content, which is about the ninth gate, or just...
No, just the content. Of me asking how to recognize anomalies so that I can be aware of going in and out of parallel worlds.
So he's making a big deal out of the word triangulation. I don't know what it is referring to. Let's find out what he means.
It is. It's what Bob is. Bob.
Right, so I'm interested in how you translate that. So you say, okay. You say Bob recognizes this new
Bob asks a question. We answer it. That's one point of the triangulation. Then, but Bob ain't going to take that. He'll have it, but he'll say, okay, now let's clarify it. And what about, or he says every conversation is two conversations.
Yeah, so I'll bring in the other factor. I understand that.
So he'll bring that up, the second point.
Yeah.
Now, the first point, which is our answer, he'll come to a different new conclusion, which would be another point.
Oh, wait, no, that didn't mean, we have the first answer, then I bring up a second point. We understand the two points. What's the third point?
We just told you.
Yeah, but it didn't make sense, so try it again. What is it you meant?
Carolyn, this is exactly the third point. You see, we've developed both points before, what we said, and then...
Then I want a context for the two points. The environment we're in.
We like environment better than context.
Okay. Yeah, no, I like that.
Context is a stretch. But here we go. When we re-qualify the point and then Bob's alternative point, then Bob comes to a new conclusion about what we said about something, and that becomes a third point.
When I bring up the second point, your response to that, I then relate to the first point, and
yes,
that is the new level I've brought you to.
No, you didn't bring your...
You gave a response to my second point.
Right.
Or a new point you come to, Bob.
Yeah, a new
correct
point.
And then you take that same new point and you reference it to the other conversation in your asking, Bob.
Do I reference it back to one of the first two?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because every conversation is two conversations. You'll ask us a question. We'll answer it. Let's say you just take it at face value and go, cool, which is odd.
Yeah, here's a good way in light of what you've been saying. Ion, what is parallel worlding? Now, you said earlier, a telephone call. Then I would go, oh, that's what McClellan meant by parallel worlding. See, there's two points there.
But you may come back and say every conversation is two conversations. Like, well, no, it isn't necessarily a telephone conversation. It might be that you have to connect through the telephone to another world. Ion, is that what you mean? And we would say sometimes.
And that would be the second part. That would be establishing the second point.
Right. And then in that process, then you'll draw a conclusion and go, Carolyn, did you hear what Ion said?
Mm-hmm.
Ion said A and B can get to C.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, non-physical, didn't know what the hell he was talking about, and only because of my brightness did we get there. But look where we are now.
Oh, wait, I did not know. Let's do that. I'm going non-physical, didn't know what I was talking about. Is that me?
That's right.
Saying that. And then, but who's bright?
You're bright.
But I'm bright.
Because you pushed enough to get to some place where you can...
Where I can say, Ion knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And then, of course, Marshall McLuhan say, Bob, are you trying to tell us something?
Yeah, Carolyn,
that's right. But now, that's not bad. Carolyn, now that sounds a bit of ring around the rosy there, but what Bob does innately is triangulate every point to the point that he can always find where he is. But now here's the trick of that. When you do that for very long, then Bob says, oh, damn, what was it? I forgot. What were we talking about? Because of his triangulation position, he is constantly on the crest of pinpoints where it is, where it's going, where it's been. So much so that it can easily get tangled up in not sure what we were talking about. But that's okay, because somebody's always kind and tells him, and then he's okay, and then, you know, we move on from there. But Bob's position of triangulation is what we were talking about
because you were asking, you ask us how to better be aware of parallel world interaction. So that's one point. Now, Carolyn, what would be another point, or maybe the other conversation of our answer that we did so far that you'd also like to ask about now to create the second point?
Well, it seems that when you're pointing out to you that telephone calls, are you socializing? That was the
right
point.
Yeah,
two.
And it's interesting how bad I am at thinking of the other conversation, but yeah, I guess I was focused on, do I have to take another plane trip? Do I have to be interacting with people? But the telephone is a great thing to, for me to
expand what you mean by parallel worlding.
Right.
And see, because if a telephone call can usher you to another world, mm-hmm. okay. Because otherwise, you see, in your conversation, you're right, you would be limited, or so you would consider, you'd be limited to when you were getting on an airplane or on Saturday going to the market or...
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, it can be like, Bob, I'm going to ride the bus to go to another world. Okay, Carol, I'm going to the beach.
Exactly.
Hey, yes, I'm going to the beach. I'll be back. I'm still to the beach. Okay, well, Carolyn, what are you going to do on the bus? Well, I'm just going to another world. Well, oh, Bob may ask unless you slipped out before he left, you know, and it's like, wait a minute, that you're just going to go catch the bus to go to another world. It mm-hmm. becomes not so directive, and to triangulate that reason might be a bit odd, because you know, well, I've got other things I should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carolyn, so when I said on the forum that there's nothing that I unsaid that McLuhan had said before, that was exactly the point I was thinking, how McLuhan talked about parallel worlds in our technology thing. Mm-hmm. So the point is that Ion said, what is parallel worlding? And then you find out, well, there's more meanings to the word than you might assume, which mm-hmm. is from your one point.
If you triangulate every conversation, now this doesn't work for Bob, because this is not about Bob, but Bob's point's what he's making. If you do what Bob does in your settled place of where you are, because you're very cognizant of your space where you are. All right, Bob doesn't care. But as you're having conversation and you triangulate a topic, then any time, that triangulation, it's set in the ground, it's pants on the ground, pinpoint where you are, then when anomalies affect the triangulation, now here's the next part, Bob. When anomalies affect that triangulation that you've been practicing and are good at, then you'll know and you'll have no other possibility but to remember because of your firm triangulation. You can always find yourself with 3 points. In your place of 3 points, you always know where you are. Same way, like a cell call, like a cell, they triangulate through the towers. And that's how they can find exactly where that cell phone is when it's connecting, from triangulation. All right, now in this conversation, we're practicing triangulation, and Bob's words were very perfect. He does go to the extreme, but in his extremeness, he rarely misses anything.
Yeah, Kevin, you have 1 point parallel worlding and then technological parallel worlding. You then go parallel to those 2 points. And look at those two. That would be the third point.
And reference them back to each other.
Yeah.
That's the rest of it, Bob.
What's the third one, Bob?
You look at, okay, well, this point's been made, and then the second point's been made. They're slightly different. And then you become aware that you're looking from a third position at those 2 points.
Mm-hmm. Here's an example. Mm-hmm. Bob will ask a question. We answer it. Okay? That sets a third point. Okay? But then Bob takes and goes, no, wait. Every conversation is two conversation. He'll bring up another attribute, another position, or may just say you're full of shit. No, Ion, no. Either way, it's another point. But now, we've taken the question and the answer and started a point and moved it to the outside point with the conversation. Then Bob gives the complimentary, we'll say complimentary, rarely.
For the rest of the story.
Yes. To make the second triangulation point. And then then Bob wants to take the second triangulation point and bring it to the new third point. Now, when the topic can do that from all three points, Bob always gets it every single time without fail, without exception. Mm-hmm. And when he gets that, that way, now, and if it, Bob doesn't care if it takes 2 days, 2 months, 2 years, he's good. He just belongs to the flow, but he always knows where he is based on the geography of the wordology, if you would like to use that extreme verbiage. But from that place, anybody that asks him that question, he can pinpoint it and nail it in a sentence. Bam. Here are the 3 points. Here's the triangulation. Here it is. Bam. Now, there may be aspects about it, but that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is being founded in your place of knowing. Founded in the place of knowing.
There's a point that you say you look at the new point, you look at a point, and then you triangulate that. That means you stand back and look at it, and then
you ask the question. Yes, well, that's right. This is what you're doing right now, Bob. Yes. You're going to listen to what he's doing. This is perfect. We made a point, okay, then we took it to the next point of having a discussion about it. Then Bob brings up another point, one that we were discussing, like between parallel world and then telephone, and then pinpointing that of how a telephone conversation can cause parallel world travel to be noticed, and then brings it back to the original point, which was how to work on ascension or know about parallel worlds or come into that place. Well, you got to do it with simple words, or Bob's lost, because you can't. He's going to re-triangulate your new sentence. But what he did just then, he came right back into a place of triangulation. Is because, okay, we got parallel worlds, we got telephone, other opposite of the opposite, or another point of that conversation, linking them both into. When you're on the phone, if you go to a parallel world, that's just as much a parallel world as if you touch the banister in your house and go to a parallel world. In that little bit, he pulled everything back and said, no, wait, what are you talking about? Wait, this is about that. Stop. Because his point of triangulation, he'll have forever when someone has that conversation. Because of his point of triangulation, he'll know where he was. Now, let's bring it home for you. You are working on your future health yesterday. Phone ringing. Doorbell's ringing. Rare for it all to happen at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But Bob's not going to do any of those. He's not going to the door. He's not going to work on your future health now. And he's likely not going to answer the phone if it's not something he recognizes. Right?
Correct.
So there you go. Could you pull a triangulation from those experiences? Could you live in a world where all three of those things could happen at the exact same moment?
And what is the third thing? We got the doorbell.
Working
on future health now.
That's two.
And the phone ringing.
Oh, the phone ringing. Okay, those are three things happening.
Yeah.
Could you triangulate that, and could you envision all three of those happening at the same time?
Yes.
Could you connect all three of those at the same time?
Well, I could have the phone on my head, answer the door, and be still thinking about future health now.
Or, and even be on the phone and say, can you hold on just 1 second? You know, I got to check the door, whatever. You would be very easy. Well, you probably wouldn't, but you could. Like if you had to sign for a package.
Sure, yeah, that's no problem.
And so, therefore, your computer would still be open from where you were working on your future health now.
Right.
You'd be actively engaged on the telephone and answer the door.
Right.
If you could triangulate those three occurrences, can we call them occurrences if they're occurring at the same time? Could you pinpoint where you are every step of that triangulated experience?
Yeah.
All right, and then it's clear. If that were to happen, could you remember it?
I could.
All right, so just like in your place, because you're not talking about how to do it, you know you're already doing it. You're trying to remember it. That's what you said, and that's why we're bringing up triangulation, because what we're doing now, like Bob, Lord suffering cats, what we're doing now, like Bob, is triangulating your conversation that you're asking about. I want to know more about parallel world traveling. I want to remember, and I want to notice the anomalies that I recall. Now, is that triangulatable?
I guess so. I hope so.
What does that mean?
I want to parallel world travel.
That's one corner of the triangle, okay?
I want to remember. I am parallel world traveling. I know that.
I can't remember.
But I can't remember.
That's Bob's other side of the conversation.
All right.
Right? So now you've got to come to a conclusion that will make your third point. And that third point's got to connect to I can't remember, and I know I'm already doing it. Because within that triangle, it will be so defined, you'll have no choice but to have constant callability. You know, so we left re out of that. Constant callability of the now experience. Now, you did the same thing with your dreams that way in your dream world. And we do dream world with you because that's just such a very lively part of your life. I mean, because Bob dreams too, but it's not so significant.
So how do I triangulate parallel world traveling and remembering?
You don't. That's not the point. Parallel world traveling, you know you're already doing it. Second point or outside point is another point of contact within that parallel world, bringing it back into having callability.
I guess I don't know what you mean there.
Or trying not to say recall, because you already know you can't remember. I mean, you know, can you help me not remember something? Well, you already don't remember something, so you've already got that down. So that's the convexing or
vexing.
Yes, well, it is a vex. It's convexing, that's right. And it's the obverse side of the coin. You know you're doing it, and you know you can't recall. If you just take those two points and triangulate to another point of, well, I know I'm doing it, and I would like to have the ability to make it knowing in my knower so that I know that I do remember. Because, see, for you, the truer conversation, and Bob is being very kind not to jump just wide open in the middle of this because he's bubbling. The more true statement, if you're going to talk about true, the more true statement is that you don't know what you can't remember. Now, you could triangulate it that way. I know I'm parallel traveling. I just don't know every time if I'm remembering or not. And then draw those into a point of point on the phone, doorbell ringing, working on the future house now, and then I know those three things are taking place simultaneously. I know I'm parallel world traveling. Sometimes I recall, and how do I have the application of recall parallel world traveling into a triangulation point of, oh, I am in a different world. Oh, here are the anomalies. Oh, and once you notice the anomalies from those two pinpoints of triangulation, you'll know where you are, and you'll know when a parallel world travel slips up on you. And you'll have no choice but to remember, because you can remember the three points. If you got off on the island somewhere with your cell phone, and Bob's called JW and says, I've lost Carol and I can't find her. JW would know how to call your phone, and if that was not available, would know who to call to have your line triangulated to find out exactly where you were on the island. Bob wouldn't have a clue, but he'd know to call JW. I mean, he would, you know, he would know that and say, just do this. I have no clue, but I want to know where she is. She's been gone too long. Because he'd have to be gone a while before he'd notice, you know.
Before Bob would notice. Let's triangulate that. I'm not sure what you're talking about. I would call DW and ask him where Carolyn is, and he wouldn't know.
No, Bob wouldn't know, but JW would figure it out.
Even though JW didn't know.
Right, right, correct, exactly. Because Bob may check with JW to say, didn't you talk to Carolyn this morning? Did something come up? Is she going to do something? And I was still, I didn't go to bed until she was already up. So did she mention she was going to town, or did she mention something, you see? And JW's response would be, no, you know, it's your wife. I didn't know, no, but, you know, she didn't mention anything odd that she was going to get, you know, something worked on at the Radio Shack or something.
Right. We're at a point now where JW can't help me.
Can help you.
He doesn't know.
Yes, Bob, but he knows what to do.
Oh, what would he do in this example?
He would contact the cell phone carrier, and he would give her cell phone number, and they would triangulate the last time she made a call, but it's going all the time anyway, between the towers on Maui, and triangulate the signal that her phone was giving off right now.
I can't even visualize that. They're just saying you got the towers, and then where her phone is now?
Yes.
What is the third part?
That is the third part. The three towers, it bounces. The three towers will within the 3 points to triangulation.
Oh, there are three cell towers on Maui?
Oh, there's lots more than that, yeah.
But you were saying you got to have three towers.
At least three towers to do triangulation.
To figure out where someone is.
Exactly where they are. I mean, like the pinpoint, she's standing in the, on aisle two of the Costco.
I think we're going to have to triangulate the word triangulate, because I don't know really what you mean by the word triangulation.
Okay, great. Yeah, perfect. Now, this is great. Hold on just 1 second. Hold that sentence, Bob, because this is great. Carolyn, did you hear what Bob just did? We've been speaking all this time. Bob's explained, engaged triangulation, went through the whole thing, and now Bob is like, wait, I don't even know what triangulation is, and we've been talking about it a long time. Now, he's giving the counterpoint to make a triad.
That is, in other words, you're saying I'm engaging in part two.
Correct.
Okay.
Of the thing that we'd already established that you've already been able to describe what we're doing, and then he takes that point and makes a whole new triangle.
No, a second point. He makes a second point.
Well, it ain't a second point because you already explained the point.
Yeah.
Now
then he decides that he does
another
know.
Triangle. Well, he takes another triangle off of that point.
I don't like the word triangle. I go to a second position on the way to make a triangle.
Granted, but it never stops there because you've already
Second position is I claim I did know what we've been talking about.
And that makes a whole new triangulation.
That's what I don't get. I don't know why you're bringing triangle. We've only gone from point one to now point two. We haven't even
done Bob. Well, yes, we have. You just explained to Carolyn what triangulation was. You have a question, you have an answer.
Well, wasn't that all part of the first phase?
Yeah, the first phase.
That's triangulation. And now you're saying from that triangulation, you don't know what triangulation means.
That's the second phase. Now, what might be the third phase?
You already had three phases, and then probably when you add another point,
it makes a whole new triangle.
It starts a new triangulation.
Yes.
Yeah, but you've already got 2 points already done, and then by the third, it does become a third point.
What
and
does?
A new triangle. And when you ask another question.
No, I did 3 points. Then this whole thing I just brought up is a new point, which is the fourth point, starting a new triangle.
Well, completing one another aspect of a whole triangle, I would say.
And we would say, if it works that way, great, but rarely with Bob it does. And now he wants to make a triangle out of the word triangulation. So, Carolyn, he's naturally giving you examples, and actually pretty damn good ones. We're very pleased, Bob. Very good examples of pinpointing a triangulated place. Carolyn, what are we talking about? Then he goes back, getting back to a triangle so he can find himself.
Mm-hmm.
We explain it. He's okay with every dynamic of it. And then he goes, wait a second. I don't even think I understand what triangulation is.
Well, I'll just say that all the time we were going through the first triangulation, the three phases, I was not sure I was getting it, but I didn't bring that point up. And then I sort of accepted, yeah, maybe we understand, though I found, no, I didn't. And then finally I got fed up and said, hey, I don't even know what we were stepping in.
There's his triangulation. Did you get that? Bob knows now that he didn't know what triangulation is.
I was saying that I kind of knew that all the way through it. So that would be a parallel position. You got this position, that position, and the third position is just parallel. I don't know, even though I'm pretending to know these two other points.
Fine.
That would be the third position. That third not knowing would be the third part of a triangle.
Fine. And guess what, Bob? Now, Carolyn, here's the nth degree of this. Bob can make so many triangles off of one point that every triangle points to the center of exactly which world Bob is in.
Every triangle points or the center of every triangle?
You could do 100 triangles off of one point, and every one of those triangles, if they have one theme, if it's triangulation is that word, all those triangles that you'd spin off of that triangulation, if you made a complete circle with triangles, like in the center
they'd
of a
always point, at some point.
They'd always pinpoint a specific place of the topic of conversation, of the world that you are in.
No, you mean once we had the 100 triangles, they then would use, like, my chart to pinpoint where we are? Is that what you're saying?
Not we, you. And if you only need one to find where you are, but if you've got 100 of those, as Bob is thorough to do, and that's great because he'll know. At the end of the conversation, he may wear you slap out, but he'll know. Well, those pinpoints make him come to the place of having an engagement to the degree that he can pinpoint what we're talking about. So he can never wonder which world he's in because he would triangulate to such a degree that there'd be no question in his mind. Otherwise, he's not going to have it until he can.
So I get on the radio and explain all the precepts of Ion, and yet on another parallel level, not even know what he's talking about.
Exactly.
Because they're a different world?
No, we're talking about triangulation. Bob's is thorough and extreme, and that's okay. But for you, because that's why Bob says, Carolyn, what the hell's the matter with you? You let Ion just run off at the mouth and bobbly, bobbly, bobbly and say thank you, thank you, thank you. You don't know what the hell you tell you what he's talking about. You didn't get nothing, and so what's the point? You're not going to be thorough with it. Why are you doing this? And you're like, well, fine, Bob, I'm sorry. Good, I'm going to bed. I was seeing what happened. I was going with the big picture. No problem. But if you can triangulate the big picture, then the focus points that you're trying to know where you are will be evidently clear every single time without fail or exception. Let's go back to Carolyn asked your question again.
Yeah, how do I get, you know, I want to help Carolyn here.
Help me.
Yeah, at the end of Lost, you know, the father, Chris Shepherd, whatever his name was, he goes off into this white light.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty dramatic. Exiting. It seems to me that when people are yearning to parallel world, it's that kind of thing they're looking for. Not a subtle change in the lemon juice on the plane. Mm-hmm. Change in the taste. Into a dramatic, you know, you float off out over the Maui Harbor. Ask how you get one of those experiences.
How do you get one of those experiences?
Well, let's triangulate.
How do you mean?
We're talking about triangulation. How would you triangulate that one experience rather than the subtle one? So that would be the earth-shaking one and then the subtle one, like going down the steps and touching the balustrade.
Mm-hmm.
Or
didn't that happen at the end of the Ninth Gate, Carol? Didn't he go into the castle and go into another dimension?
Yes.
It was a similar ending.
Yeah, because the castle had been burnt up, and then he was there, and the castle looked whole again.
And he walked into it, right, Carol?
It was just one turret that burned up.
Yeah.
Like the whole plane.
But I'm just thinking that he did walk into it. It ended with him walking into a
tremendous... And he just walked through the door.
And it became white light.
Yeah.
And that same as Chris Shepherd.
Exactly. And that was just the subtle. That was as subtle as anything else. But all the triangulation that Mr. Corso went through to get to there, and then you got Balkan behind it all trying to figure it all out, but then missing the point even with all the correct information. true.
Who is Frida?
She's the countess in the wheelchair.
Okay, got her. Who is Rihanna?
Telsa.
There's Telsa, the first person who comes to him.
No, Balkan is the first person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Balkan, and then you have Telsa.
Telsa is the
pretty one that he screws right away at the beginning of the movie in the apartment. Remember that, Carol?
She comes to get the book.
And they end up screwing. And then Frida's the old lady in the wheelchair. What's the name of the devil girl?
That is her.
That is who?
What is the devil girl? You're talking about the one that's the angel that's following him around?
Yeah, the
blonde. We think she's the devil. She's an angel. Oh, my God.
Okay, does she have a name?
What do they call her? It's never exactly really said.
Okay, who is the little French man?
The Chateau de Trofimaire. That's the one where all of his furniture's gone and his books are all laid in.
Trofimaire. Okay, so you've got Telsa at the beginning,
Balkan, Boris Balkan,
major collector, and then you have those two old guys babbling away in a bookstore. It's like twins.
They're just the booksellers where Rihanna Telfer bought her copy.
Okay. So you have Telsa and Balkan and Frida in the wheelchair and the angel and that guy in the empty no furniture place. What was his name?
Trofer.
Okay, so, all right, I don't want to get too distracted on that.
But now that's the 3 points. That's the triangulation.
Okay, what are the, I don't get what, that was four names, four or five. So where are the
three books?
There's only Balkan, Telfa, and Frida's copies of the 9
games. Oh, okay, so I had the book.
Everybody else were just players in the game.
Yeah, angels and book deal, who would be, and Trevor Moore, he was.
Why did we think she was the devil?
She was acting like it in the end, sort of. Oh, you know why? I didn't know what she was, but the blurb on the envelope for the CD, giving the description of the movie, is totally ridiculous. They say she's a devil. You know, they talk about her being a devil. So I brought that in as, well, they're saying that, let's bring that idea in for a reference point, but I don't know if I agreed with it.
Oh, she's an angel.
Yeah.
That's the way the Book of Shadows describes her. And the angel, the interaction of the last engraving, shows that interaction with the angel that opens the 9th gate that allows Mr. Corso, Dean Corso, to go through the castle.
What's the metaphor of him having sex with the angel?
That was the whole point of engaging, of that ascension process.
It's just engaging with something.
Yeah.
And why was it so, it's almost like he was in pain. Was he supposed to be in ecstasy?
He was ecstatic regardless of his pain threshold.
Right, his face. So he was ecstatic, so then he does that, and then he goes through the white light of the castle.
Yes, and that was the part that Boris Balkan was missing when he poured gasoline on his butt and set himself afire.
He didn't know he had to screw the angel.
Right, because the little booksellers had removed
a
last engraving, and when he goes back, there's no bookstore there. And it'll look like that store's been there 200 years. They're knocking down the bookcases, and one leaf of paper falls.
Yeah, the Dean has to get it.
Holy crap, that's pretty cool. So that would be an example, Carolyn, of triangulation.
Okay, now explain how that is. Well, what are the parts of this triangle?
The 3 books,
yeah,
they each have 9 engravings each. 3 engravings of each book are from LCF. Now, that's an anomaly.
Each book has 9 engravings. Each book is different. So you got 27 engravings. And 3 in each book are by LCF.
Correct.
But one of the books had one of them missing.
The last book, Telfa's book, had the one. And the last LCF engraving had been replaced.
Yes, that was his first book. That was the first person he encountered. Did he get a book from her?
That was the one that Boris Balkan bought from her, or from her husband.
And did he give it to him?
Yes.
He gave it to Dean. He took it with him.
And right. He wanted to compare them.
Right. So he then goes to Frida and sees her book.
Right.
And then he goes, before Frida, around the same time, he goes to Trafamore and sees his book.
Right.
So Trafamore had one, Frida had one, and Telsa had one but sold to Balkan. So he does take Balkan's book and compares it to the one he finds at Trafalmore and the one he finds at Frida.
Yes.
And the first book he got from Telsa had a missing page, missing a game.
But no one to the very last knew that part. No one knew that.
It doesn't look like it has something torn out.
Right. Because what they replaced it with, it was the same picture. It just missed the little monstery-looking thing that you're calling the devil or whatever.
Right. He was, yeah, right.
Well, I don't know. I guess you could call it the devil because the devil's as much as an angel as Gabriel. So,
yeah.
Okay. That's
And the full picture had her riding the multi-headed monster sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you're saying that each book had 9 pictures, but it turned out Telsa's book had the erroneous 9th engraving.
Correct. An incomplete last engraving. Yeah.
So the one, the piece that falls off the bookshelf, did that come from Telsa's copy?
Yes.
Because
that's where Telsa bought it
and then sold it to Balkan, right, Joe?
Right.
Or Balkan stole it.
Well, sort of, yeah, because he hung himself, and then all of a sudden the book got missing, and he said he bought it.
Oh, wait, the guy who hung himself. Oh,
mm-hmm.
That was Telfa's husband.
Oh, and Telfa's husband bought it.
For Balkan, her.
And Balkan got it from them.
Yeah.
Correct. Balkan. We don't need him. Balkan said he bought it.
But he was going around killing everybody else, so he probably
right.
pretty much
Balkan
him.
Was killing people?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
So
everybody... Everybody. He burned up the old woman in the wheelchair.
Right.
We see him doing that.
No.
Oh, no. Okay, so if she got burned up, it would turn out to be Paul. So he would follow Dean everywhere, and Dean would find him, then he'd kill him.
Right.
How did the Telsa die? Telsa, whatever.
She strangled her.
Balkan strangled her. Mumbo, when he went into the thing, mumbo jumbo, and...
in the ritual. Right.
Yeah.
So she gets strangled in the ritual and burned up
by Boris Balkan. He burned up.
Yeah, but Boris Balkan, he strangled her. He did the wheelchair woman, and who would be the third person he killed?
The old man.
French gun.
That's Trafalmore?
That one too. Yeah, that
okay,
one.
Yeah, you mean the old guy who was connected to Telfa? That was the first murder.
Right.
He hung. The first guy...
No, the guy in the French, who just had books in the middle of war, no treasure.
No, but the husband was found hung first.
Yeah, the first guy, and he was hung by Balkan?
That's the...
No, he hung himself. We saw that happening, but we don't know what created it.
Yeah.
Maybe Balkan exposed the wife.
Right, or something, yeah.
Oh, okay, so he dies, and then Balkan... He kills the wheelchair, he kills Telfa, and he kills the guy with no furniture. So he's killing people. Why is he doing that?
So he can get their books.
Oh, he grabbed their books. Okay, so he had them all. Dean would see each book, but then leave it with the person, and then Balkan would come and get it.
Well, he would look at it, and then he would burn the copies, because remember, Mr. Corso would find every copy burnt.
So Balkan had already found the copy before Dean shows up?
Yeah. No, once Dean would get there and he'd come back.
Okay, Dean would go and find them.
Yeah.
Then Balkan would come in behind Dean's back and burn the books.
Look at the books.
Yeah.
And burn them.
For what reason did he burn them?
He wanted his to be the only copy.
Okay, I got that. So he didn't know where the wheelchair lady was.
Who didn't?
Balkan didn't know.
Well, he most certainly did, because he sent her the postcard in her copy of...
Right, so why is Dean going to find these people that Balkan already knows where they are?
Maybe he was going to set them up, but the angel implied that he was being set up for all these murders. That's why she stopped him from stopping Balkan from killing the woman during the ritual, because she said, look, he's done this in public, and now they'll know he did all the other murders.
Oh, okay. Now,
I think he was setting her up.
Okay, I missed what you said there. The angel stopped Balkan from killing the woman?
Stopped Corso from stopping Balkan from killing the woman.
Oh, so allowed Balkan to kill Telfa.
Right.
So then everybody would see that he killed people,
right.
And then know that he killed the others.
Right.
Well, we never see him killing anybody other than Telfa in the ritual.
Yeah, that's pretty dramatic, isn't it?
Are we supposed to know that maybe Balkan's killing them?
Yeah, someone is.
Do you think it was Was it just a mystery, or did you, Carol, figure out it was Balkan?
Yeah, because he was always right there on the phone. Where are you? Are you? You're following me. You're close.
I'm closer than you know.
Oh, okay. Balkan would say, you're following me, Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other way around. I don't remember who I said.
When Corso's copy of Balkan's book gets stolen from behind the refrigerator, he comes in and had the hell beat out of him.
I assume Balkan comes in.
Corso comes into the hotel.
Yeah.
And the phone rings, and it's Balkan saying, okay, your work is done. Return my property, and you pick up your check. He says, well, there's a problem. Oh, well, you don't know what links I'll go to get what I want. I suggest
you don't know, Balkan, how many links Dean will go to?
No.
Balkan says...
Dean has a problem because he's lost the book.
Right. And Balkan knows it.
And Balkan calls him up and what happens?
At the exact moment that it's gone... And he says, okay, your services are done, Mr. Corso. Return my property, said by Boris Balkan, and collect your check.
Balkan has stolen the book?
Of course. Okay.
No, the woman had it.
Which woman? That's right.
The widow. She had it in her hand.
Delpha. That's right.
Okay, she had
Delpha
it.
Had left it, and that's why he had to chase her around with the blonde-headed
He being Dean or Balkan, who chased her himself. Dean chased her around. Okay, so Balkan calls up after Telfa's stolen Dean's book, and he says, okay, give me the book back, and he knows that Dean can't give the book back.
Correct.
And then what's his motive? What's his game right to that moment? What's he trying to do by demanding the book back?
That's his whole thing.
He's demanding the book back, and he knows it's missing. Is he trying to bug Dean?
Well, it's not bugging him. It's like, you know, you took my book and it's priceless and...
Why is he bugging Dean? Why is he making...
That he knows that it's no longer in Dean's possession.
So how did Dean solve that problem?
Well, he chased after Telfa to get the copy back and then turns into Boris shows up the same party that they do to...
Did he get the book back from Telfa when he chases Telfa?
Yeah, at the mansion when Boris Balkan comes in. And
where they do the ritual.
Yeah.
The book chasing leads to the ritual. Is the book there and Dean sees it before Balkan kills Telfa?
Yes. Okay. He gets it. That's right. He gets it. And remember, they get it back and put them in the dungeon or down the steps, and then the angel kills them all.
Oh, yeah. Who comes
back? Corso kills the... white-haired guy, and this is where I thought the angel was the devil, because she said, looks like you like killing.
No, what she said was, she says, gosh, I didn't know you had it in you.
I didn't know you had it in you.
Yeah, who is Dean Kill? The
white-haired black guy?
Platinum-headed.
Oh, who'd worked with Delpha?
Correct.
And did he kill anybody else in the basement?
No.
And he already killed Delpha? No, he'd been killed. So he killed that guy.
That was his only kill.
So what does Balkan think he's looking for? And he has this ritual and kills her. What's his point? He thinks he has to do that to get to the ninth gate?
No. How it all started, he knew there was one copy of the Book of Shadows, the Kingdom of Shadows, that was correct or authentic. And he wanted to make sure that the one he'd gotten from Telfa was the correct one.
And if he goes and finds these other ones, if they were the correct one, more correct than his, he would have just taken theirs?
Correct.
And he found them all screwed up, so he just threw them away.
Yeah, because I think Corso told him pretty early on that the pictures didn't match.
Right.
So he was pretty excited about that.
That the other people's books did not match with Balkan's
the pictures, yeah.
And so, they could all be equally valid. You know, why does he think his book is good because the others don't match with it?
He didn't. That's what he was paying Mr. Corso to do, was to find out
which one
is genuine.
So why does he do the ritual?
He wants to become all powerful.
So he thinks going in the ninth gate, it's like he's a materialist view of taking your power. He takes your power by... I don't know why he killed Telfa. Is there a power motive in there?
Well, to get her book.
Did he have to kill her in the ritual to get her book held?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's why he killed her.
The book was on right there. She was reading from it.
And he had to get rid of her so he could take the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his book that he got Dean to carry around with him.
Right.
So it ended up back with Telfer for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she stole it from his refrigerator.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so he's trying to get it back, and he thinks he has to kill her to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And he does, and then he goes to the Borton Castle and thinks that you go into Night's Gate by burning yourself up.
Well, looking at the engravings that Mr. Corso had pointed out, the differences in the engravings, then Balkan thought he had all the pieces of the puzzle to lay out all the engravings and knew what he had to do in that castle to activate the ninth gate that he could walk through.
He got the nine engravings, not knowing one of them was wrong.
Correct.
And he laid them out, and he thought he had to burn himself to go through.
Well, no, he knew that was what the last engraving shows. Instead of the monster thingy, or angel thingy, it shows that this ring of fire, this circle.
Oh, that's what all those nine engravings were in Telfer's book.
No, three of them were in
each book. So he gathered the nine engravings, the three from each book. The three different
burned them. He got the books and burned them. Remember the old man.
Yeah, that's on his point. He took three engravings from each.
And he ripped the pictures out. Yeah.
And why did he just pick three of the nine in each book?
Because Corso had already pointed out that there was differences in the engravings.
He had all the Lucifer ones.
There'd be nine in a book, and three of them it turned out would have LCF. So he'd only go for the LCF, and the others would be different.
Yeah.
Compared to other books.
Right.
It'd be different, so therefore they were weak. They weren't as important as the LCF, okay? So then, for some reason, the fire burning scene is in one of the three books.
It's in the imitation engraving, the last one.
It's in the imitation engraving.
Yeah.
The false one showed the fire instead of having sex with the angel.
Okay, would that be the false one? The last image is three images he got from the wheelchair woman?
No. The last three he got was out of Telsa's copy.
No, the very last engraving, I think, was that the booksellers that blew off the top of the bookshelf.
Well, that was the correct one.
That was the Telsa copy, and that was the one that Dean Corso got. Balkan didn't get that one.
So Balkan gets three engravings from the guy with no furniture, Truffelmore. What's his name? Can you say it, I am?
Chateau de Truffaut.
So the first three images he gets from Truffaut.
Pulls them out and throws the Book of Shadows in the fireplace.
Right. Then he gets three from the wheelchair lady.
Rita. Right. And
Rita.
Her copy up on the desk.
Yeah, it's like half a copy left. It's all.
Same way it was with the Chateau one as well.
And the Chateau one is the only one left. That must be Telfer's.
No, Telfer had been...
Okay, I don't know what you mean, but we'll hope for that. He gets three from Twelfamore. He gets three from the old lady. Then he has to get the Telfer's book.
Telfer's.
And he gets that after he kills her.
Right.
And so from Telfer's, he gets the wrong image, but he doesn't know it's wrong.
Right.
Now go into what you were just saying, the castle. That you're calling Telfer's book the castle book or something.
No.
Saying the word castle, but I meant to go and I should put that on hold.
Well, he laid out the nine engravings, one of them being incorrect, in the castle where we burned himself on.
Which was one of the pictures.
And that's what it shows.
I think it was the postcard from Boris. Oh, you mean that castle that they end up in was in one of the pictures?
Yeah.
One of the books.
That was in a postcard in Frida's copy of the Ninth Gate. It says, "Sorry, Frida, I saw it."
It was a postcard, Joe.
It's wasn't it an engraving as well?
Well, it was just a postcard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
okay.
Even though the postcard is not part of the book, there are three engravings in Frida's book. Three engravings in Frida's book.
Yeah.
But there was also a postcard in there, and the postcard showed him where to go.
Right, where the gate was.
Right, but he sent that postcard to Frida.
Frida, yeah. Said, "Sorry, Frida, I saw it first."
Wow.
Meaning he saw the postcard first.
He saw the castle first.
How did he see it?
He found it.
Long before.
Yeah.
Before the events of the movie. So now he finds Frida's book and sees the postcard that he sent to Frida. Right? He sent that postcard.
He knew he saw that. That postcard was collected by Mr. Corso.
Oh, where did he get it from?
Her library.
Oh.
I mean,
okay, so that means before the movie started, he knew where to have the ritual.
Right.
Before the movie started, you know what I mean? Before the events of the movie, he knew where. And then Dean finds out that Boris did know because he read the
postcard.
Okay, so you get these nine images. Now, that is a legend.
Yes.
It's a metaphor for having a legend, Carolyn.
Mm.
And it's also an anomaly.
Mm. What's the anomaly?
That you got three original books, that three are correct, but in each one of the three books has three elements that is the correct one of all together. Which is what Corso identified. He says, Mr. Balkan, I think all three copies are original. I'm just noticing that there's three parts right in each three of the three books from the engravings, because everything else, even the drops in the lettering of the printing are the same in each copy. There's no difference except for the engravings in the books.
Okay, the three in each book all have the same lettering of the LCF?
Yes, because you remember in that chateau, the old man with no furniture, he checks Corso's copy with his copy and says, see here, it's perfect. Because there was an S on one of the pages that had a little bit of a slip or a drop in it.
Uh-huh.
And his copy had the same slip, or that it was like an S that was skewed.
Right, that's not the LCF, just an S somewhere.
Right, in the typing letter.
In the text.
Yeah. So, what does the original book that you talked to somebody during a tailgate or something, is the original three books? Book of the Shadows or something?
No, Kingdom of Shadows is just a book that's been printed, but this is not like the story goes in the movie.
But they do bring up Kingdom of the Shadows as a title in the movie, don't they?
Yes, that's right, the Nine Gates, the Kingdom of Shadows. The real book is called The Kingdom of Shadows.
Does anybody see the real book in the movie? Yeah.
That's the Nine Gates, the Book of Shadows.
So the nine images are the Book of Shadows?
Yes, but in the real book,
not
the movie, they don't call it the Nine Gates. They call it the Kingdom of Shadows.
There's this name, Kingdom of Shadows, that title, Carolyn. Is it mentioned in the movie?
Yes, the Nine Gates, the Kingdom of Shadows.
Oh, that's the subtitle of the thing?
Mm-hmm.
So the book, Kingdom of Shadows, is never mentioned in the movie.
Yes, it is.
It's all about
it. It's the Kingdom of Shadows.
Well, when do we ever get to see that book in the movie?
Every single one that has the pentagram on the black book, Bob, all the way through it.
He carried the book. They burnt the book.
He saw all three of them, and they all look the same.
Oh, they were all original.
First edition, Kingdom of
three
Shadows.
Versions, or
mm-hmm.
It sounds like the three books together, since each have three important paintings, the engravings, the three books together is one book.
Okay. No.
Well,
the three books are identical except for each of the nine engravings have three separate engravings that are all illustrated by LCF.
Okay, so you have these three books in the movie. Are any of those three books connected to the book that's referred to in the title, The Shadows Book?
No.
All right, but in the movie, is it understood there is one book called Kingdom of Shadows?
Yes. And that's what Boris Balkan is trying to see. There's only three copies in the world, and he wants to make sure his is genuine before he goes.
In other words, he thinks he's hoping he's got the Kingdom of Shadows book.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And instead, he wants to make sure that the others are not the first edition or something else.
So the movie is referring to an actual artifact that exists 300 or 400 years ago.
Still does.
Kingdom of Shadows book is what that movie's about. And it gets the anomaly that they have three versions of it.
Right.
And that turns out they're all intertwined. So if you accept that there was an original book, those three are...
There it is. You can buy it today, Bob.
So if one accepts that there was this Kingdom of Shadows book, one could think that those three books were the total Kingdom of Shadows book.
Okay.
There were a device in the movie to divide it up.
Right.
I mean, they were arguing, well, which one is the original one book? It turned out all three were important.
All three. If it's just the the book, didn't have anything to do with anything.
It was engravings.
Engravings. Right. That was nobody would look at the pictures and make anything out of it.
Okay, so this original book, the famous book, you can buy, and it has the 9 correct engravings in it?
Sure.
So they used that book, the original book, and buying it, the producers, to make a movie about it. It's accurate to the original book.
Yes.
It's about the original book, okay.
Yes, so it is, yeah.
Now, this original book, what is it, the significance of that original book? Does it help anybody, or is it just another thing with charisma that people's imbued it with?
Well, it talks about the kingdom of shadows and the inner kingdom and the outer kingdom and the middle kingdom. It talks about the engagement with supernatural beings.
Who wrote that book?
Originally.
Who was the real writer of the real book?
That's sort of an anomaly, but they call it, it's a funny French name.
Ariosto or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we looked it up on Wikipedia. So that's a fact. And that guy did write this book?
Well, he did the translation. The original one was Chalabin, Chalavani.
Yeah.
So
that's the name of the author?
Yes, the original. And then this author that you're mentioning did the translation.
Now, the original author, Trevelyne, in his book, did they get it from a parallel world?
No.
Okay, Trevelyne wrote it. Was he describing, it's sort of like an updated Emerald Tablets, kind of an aspect of the Emerald Tablets. He was describing something he had done?
No, the book was written on, basically, the worship of the devil.
And it was banned by the Vatican.
Well, and they burned every copy of it. No.
Right, but did anybody use it for learning how to parallel world?
No.
But it was about that.
Yes.
And the writer who wrote it, Trevelyne, he meant to describe his parallel world experience.
Yes, right.
And he put all that imagery within the Christian guilt context. He had to do it that way, or he genuinely thought it that way. It's a pretty dramatic thing. It's just his personal legend, the 9 engravings.
Pretty much. Okay, now hold that thought. You're in a good place right there, Rob, just in a second, please. Carolyn, do you see what Bob has been doing in this triangulation?
Uh-huh.
What art of the Book of Shadows, the Kingdom of Shadows, does Bob not now get thoroughly?
I think he pretty much should do a dissertation on it now.
Exactly, because he triangulated each position to completion and physically, literally, ineffably coined every dynamic regarding it. So he triangulated each point till that he got it. Now, somebody may find something to talk to Bob about that he wasn't sure, but there's very little of that he didn't get. Now, that's triangulation. So now Bob knows the Kingdom of Shadows.
Yeah, there was this book written by a guy who didn't parallel world,
right,
but wrote about it as if it was the devil's world.
Right.
Yeah, and then there was a guy who translated it, and that was made more available.
Mm-hmm.
And then the church heard of all that availability, burnt them all, there was only 3 left.
Right.
And it turned out to be 3 parts of 1. And Horace's was the main one, but it needed the information from the other parts.
Right. So Horace Falcon could be sure.
So we call it triangulation, but to my mind, I'm just going through step by step to see what we establish.
Well, that's what triangulation is, Bob.
Well, the triangle, I think Bucky Fuller and some people poetically say, is the basic structure of the physical. The Trinity, it's always a triangle or a threeness. So that would be, Cosmic Awareness had a symbol of the triangle, said that's self-awareness. And then it had a little cloud coming out. The fourth phase was self-awareness, the triangle expanding. And then it becomes the circles within a spiraling circles. What is it about the triangle? Is that the basic Trinity of existence? Is it a symbol of the Trinity?
No.
So why is the triangle seen in nature?
We don't know that it is.
Is the triangle really the tetrahedron, though? That's 4 triangles, tetrahedron.